What is an honor to be with you this morning and got to fill in for the pastor in first service. It's an honor to be in here with you to fill in for him again on Pastor Appreciation Day. He has taken some time off this week and to rejuvenate and do some things. And, of course, he was still here working because that's what kind of work ethic that he has. There were still some things that needed to be done, and so he was here a little bit. But I do want to tell you, church, that I know a lot of people in ministry, people at big churches and small churches, and I know youth guys and ed guys and music guys and children's pastors and people across the board doing a lot of things, but I could probably count on one hand how many people that I know that would tell me honestly, hey, I serve a pastor that I really, really believes genuinely cares about me. I serve with a pastor that preaches God's word faithfully, and I trust him. I serve with a pastor that invests in me as a young minister and as a man of God. And I want you to know that that is the kind of pastor that we have here in Dr. Kerr. And so, what you see on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights doesn't even scratch the surface at the level and the depth of things and the way that he serves and he invests in our church and our community and for us as a staff. So, Dr. Kerr, we love you, and we praise God for your ministry here at First Baptist. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, and I want you just to kind of load that up, mark it. We will dive into that. That is our main text this morning, but go to John 15, mark that, and then I want you to go into the Old Testament, find the book of Ezekiel, and go to Ezekiel 15, John 15 and Ezekiel 15. So we will briefly look at Ezekiel 15 this morning, because as I begin to study, every time I study John 15, I'm always drawn back to Ezekiel 15, because there is an image here that I think that if we understand what is being presented, it's very similar to what we see in John 15. If we understand what that is saying, I think it helps us as we try to dive in and understand what Jesus is getting at in John 15. And so if you have Ezekiel 15 opened up, now just so you know, we're going to kind of skim through this. I'm not taking anything out of context, just for time's sake. I want just to be able just to kind of look at some things of what's being talked about. Let's get the main idea, and then let's jump in and really study this other passage. But in Ezekiel 15, God is sending a message to the people of Israel through the prophet Ezekiel. And he begins to tell them this story, or compare Israel to a vine in the woods. Now, just so you know, that in the Old Testament, this was pretty common. Israel, a lot of times in the Old Testament, especially in Ezekiel, is compared to a seed-bearing plant, a tree. In this particular case, Israel is compared to the people of Israel, compared to as a vine in the woods. This is an imperfect vine. It may do what it's supposed to do, maybe it won't. And what we're going to see is what happens when it's done producing whatever fruit, or it's bloomed and it's gone. And we're going to look at this and see what God says about it. In Ezekiel 15, in verse 1, he says, "How does the wood of the vine compare to any other wood?" Verse 3, he says, "Can it be taken? Can wood be taken from it to make something useful? Can anyone make a peg to hang things on? In fact, it's thrown into the fire as fuel." Now, I want you to understand, you hear fire and you start thinking about eternal condemnation. I know that, okay? But that's not the picture that's being presented here. He's saying, what can you do with this vine? There's once it's done blooming, or once it's not, you know, useful in whatever it was created to do, the wood, you can't cut it down like a tree and make something out of it. It's useless. And what do you do with wood that's useless? Well, the only thing you can do is burn it. But the picture here is that it's not fulfilling its purpose. It's not useful to the Lord. He says in verse 6, "Like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire as fuel, so I will give up the residents of Jerusalem." Verse 7, "I will turn against them." Then you go on to verse 8, explains this a little bit more. He says, "I will make the land desolate because they have acted unfaithfully." And so what you see here is a picture of God speaking to his people. This is the people of Israel. These are God's chosen people. These are the people that gather together to worship the Lord. These are the people that study the law. These are the people that these are God's people. Okay, and he's not saying to them that he's because of their unfaithfulness he's eternally condemning them. Although that will happen to any and every person who steps into eternity apart from Christ. That's not the picture here. Because what you don't know is if you read this passage, it's within 10 years. I'm going to say, give or take a couple years, probably about 6 years between the time this passage in Ezekiel was written until the fall of Jerusalem, when the Babylonian Empire comes and takes Israel into captivity. This is what he's saying: I'm going to make their land desolate. God is saying, because of your unfaithfulness, there's nothing that I can do with you, because you're not doing what you were created to do, you have to understand that you are headed for very difficult days that you don't have to be headed for. But the reason you're headed that way, Israel, my people, the people of God, believers, it's because you've been unfaithful. And that is the picture that we see here in Ezekiel 15. A little bit of a Rosetta Stone, if you will, to understand as we dive in now and really look in depth here at John 15 and what Jesus is talking about. So, if you would go ahead and you got that loaded, flip it back over. Let's go to John 15 and let's dig into God's Word this morning and see what Jesus teaches us about the vine and the branches. John 15, 1, Jesus says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. The first thing that we see in this passage, John 15, 1, is that Jesus is our connection to God. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He is trying to convey a message to them that they need to understand, because it was a common misunderstanding amongst the Israelites, the Hebrew people. It was a common misunderstanding at that time. A lot of them thought, and the Pharisees were teaching this, that in order to be in good standing with God, in order to be able to go to heaven, if you will, you just needed to be born into an Israelite family. As long as your mama was a Jew and your daddy was a Jew, born into a Jewish family, as long as your mom was a Jew and your dad was a Jew, then you were okay. And that's because when you talk about Jewish people, when you say the word Jewish, you're talking not just about an ethnicity, but you're also talking about a religion. So a lot of them thought that either by ethnicity or by religious affiliation, whatever they call themselves, however they identify, that they were in good standing with God. In fact, you see this in John chapter 8. Those of you going through the New Testament project, last week you would have read this interaction that Jesus has with some Pharisees, where they're kind of saying, what are you talking about? We are children of Abraham. We're not half-breeds. We're completely Jewish. Our mom was a Jew and our dad is a Jew. We're okay with God. We're children of Abraham. Jesus is saying, no, you don't understand. That's not how it works. And so Jesus is clearing this up. Remember in the Old Testament, there's this image of a vine, but that vine is an imperfect vine that represents Israel. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. the reality is that the imperfect vine of Israel was just a vessel by which God would eventually bring about the person of Jesus, who is God in the flesh. It is the vessel by which God would use to send the Son of God, the Messiah, to this earth. And so Jesus is saying, I am your connection with God. You don't have a connection with God because you were born into a Christian family. You don't have a good standing with God just because you say that you're a Christian or you say that you are a Baptist or whatever that might be. It doesn't matter. The only way you can have a true connection with God, the only way that you can know that your eternity is set to go to heaven is if you have come through faith in Jesus. Jesus is our only connection with God. He is the connection. He is the only connection. That's so important for us to understand. He's establishing that up front. Jesus is our connection to God. The second thing that we see here, going in verse 2, Jesus begins to describe to us some branches. He says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vineyard keeper. And then he says, any branch that is in me that does not produce fruit, my Father removes. Now, it's very easy, if you read that passage, it would be very easy to say, okay, well, this is talking about someone that maybe they're a Christian, and then they mess up, and somehow they're not a Christian anymore. God removes them because of their sin. Well, first of all, we have to understand that the Bible is pretty clear that once you are a child of God, if you are truly in Christ, salvation in Christ is not something that you lose. Romans 11 says God's gifts are irrevocable. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us that heaven is an inheritance that God gives to us. It is something that will never spoil, perish, or fade away. It is kept in heaven, your inheritance. It is kept up in heaven by God's power for those who are in faith. So if it means that you were once a Christian and then now you're not, we have a theological issue. So what does it mean? And I get hung up on this phrase, in me. When Jesus says, any branch that is in me, what does he mean by in me? And so I began studying that phrase, in me. And I began looking at, when Jesus says, in me, who is he talking about? And I typed that in and I began to look, and several verses come up. And every time in the New Testament, and particularly mostly it's in the Gospels, when Jesus says the phrase, in me, he is always talking about, outside of John 15, he's always talking about people who have faith in Jesus. They're saved. They're believers. He's talking about people who are in me. Or he's talking about something that you do through the power of Christ that is in you because you are a believer. So that makes sense. Maybe that's what he's talking about. So I thought, okay, well, me is Jesus. So what does it mean to be in Christ? So I looked at that, and dozens of New Testament verses comes up about with the phrase translated in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And I didn't look exhaustively at every single one, but I did look at several, and all the ones that I saw seemed to refer to people who were believers, who were Christians. So if Jesus means here, so he's talking about in me, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is a vineyard keeper, and any branch that is in me that does not bear fruit, he removes. What is he talking about? Well, that throws me back to Ezekiel 15, which we already covered. And when I begin to understand that, I begin to understand that what he is talking about, this connected branch that is in Jesus is being removed, is a connected branch that doesn't fulfill its purpose. It's a connected branch that does not fulfill its purpose. You have to understand that it's possible. I know people that are Christians. I mean, we have been through times in our lives, probably most of us in this room, that we came to Christ, or maybe you know somebody that has come to Christ. You never doubted that, but there are times when you're not walking in step with the Lord. There are times where you're not really listening to God speak in your life, and because of that, you are unfaithful, and because of that unfaithfulness, you become unfruitful, and the power of God is just not as evident in your life as it once was. I think what he's talking about when he talks about this connected branch that does not fulfill its purpose, it's a person who maybe they came to Christ and they never really, they stopped at the cross. You know, they got saved. They don't doubt their salvation. They came through faith in Jesus. They believe Jesus died for their sins. They put their faith and trust in Jesus, but they never really went any deeper than that. You know, in church, this makes sense because, I mean, think about this. Oh, Jesus tells us the Great Commission, go ye and make disciples. Disciples, that is the ultimate goal. And in our faith is not just to come to Christ. That is step one. But ultimately, God's desire for us is to be in a deep walk with him and to be disciples of Jesus. So these are people that maybe for whatever reason are not walking in discipleship. Maybe one time they were, but something happened and they got frustrated, they got angry, they got hurt. Their heart was broken. Something happened. And they've just been in arm's length with Jesus. They don't doubt that Jesus is their Savior, but they just have distanced themselves from God. Think about the prodigal son who took his inheritance from his father. He went out and he squandered all of it, and he was eating the pig slop on the streets after he had squandered all of his money, but he went back to his father. But here's the deal. He had never stopped being his father's son. He had never stopped having the right to benefit from being his father's son. So we see and we know that can happen to folks. Jesus, I believe, is talking about a connected branch that's not fulfilling its purpose. Something's wrong with it. It needs attention. Just like the unfruitful branch or the useless branch in Ezekiel, the unfruitful branch in Christ could be headed for many difficulties because of their unfaithfulness to God. But it doesn't have to be that way. They also, we see here, the connected branch is being pruned. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vineyard keeper. He says, any branch that's in me that doesn't produce fruit, my Father removes. But then he says, but the branches that do produce fruit are pruned so that they can produce more fruit. Now, just think about that as it relates to our Christian lives. Ultimately, our goal and our desire should be to bear the fruit of God. That is what we're called to do. You know, and as a fruit-bearing branch, you know, sometimes you look at your life and you're like, wow, you know, I can see God working. Oh, look at this happening and look at that happening. And you're on top of the world because you're just thinking, man, everything's going so great. And all of a sudden, snip. Snip, snip. And some of these things that you were so proud of and so excited about, some of these things are starting to go away. Now, it's hard for me to imagine myself as a branch, but I will tell you, if someone cut my finger off or my arm off, I think it hurt. Okay? Obviously, when things happen to us in life, they emotionally are hard to deal with, spiritually hard to deal with. And there are those things, friends, that happen in our lives that happens. Sometimes it's our fault. Yeah, sometimes we bring it on ourselves, but sometimes we don't bring it on. Sometimes it's part of living in a fallen world. Sometimes it's part of living in a world that is filled with sin. Sometimes you don't bring that on, but things happen in your life. Sometimes I know that there are times people lose their jobs. They get laid off. They didn't do anything. They get laid off. Company closes or mishandles their money. And they shut the doors. Or maybe people maybe someone in your family that you love, you're close to, they pass away. You didn't ask for that. You didn't do anything to cause that. Well, I want you to know that if you will trust in God, you will find that even the worst things that happen to us are things that God will use to prune us. You know, you were bearing fruit. And I know you feel like, man, you know, I was doing all this and I just feel like I can't bear that fruit anymore. Take heart. Trust in God because he is pruning you to bear more fruit one day. I mean, think about Joseph. Think about Joseph. Joseph minding his own business. Yeah, maybe he was a little big-headed, but he didn't do anything. He sure didn't deserve being sold into slavery by his own family. And he's in jail. Well, he wasn't in jail at that point, but after sold into slavery, he's put in jail for doing the right thing, fruit in his life, being pruned. He gets put in jail, and he does the right thing again and helps somebody interpret a dream. And that guy says, hey, I'm going to get you out of jail as soon as I get out. Well, yeah, that happened, but it was a few years later, right? Joseph was being pruned. He was bearing fruit, and it was like as soon as he would bear fruit, it was pruned away. But God was preparing him to one day bear fruit in a very significant way. One day we know what kind of impact Joseph had on the people of Israel and saving them from the famine because of God's pruning. You know, it's interesting. We don't just get pruned to bear fruit, but sometimes we're pruned to take shape too, aren't we? I don't know. How many of you have ever been to Disney World? Anybody been to Disney World in the last few years? Magic Kingdom? Who's been to Magic Kingdom in the last few years? Okay, let me ask you. So it's been 20 years since I was at Magic Kingdom, okay? Some of you are like, wow, you're old. I am, right? But here's 20 years. When you went to Magic Kingdom, when you went in the front, was there that big flower bed that was shaped like the Mickey Mouse head and the ears? Did y'all see that? Some of you saw it. Maybe it was at one of the parks. When you're walking through the Disney parks, did you see the shrubs that were shaped and cut to look like Mickey Mouse or Goofy or Minnie? Have y'all ever seen that? Let me tell you something. I told you I grew up in Arkansas. I spent a little time in the woods. Some of you probably spent more time in the woods than I have. I'm sure you have. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never been walking through the woods and seen a shrub that looked like Mickey Mouse. Okay? Never seen a flower bed that looked like the Mickey Mouse ears. But if I did, I would know, hey, there's been a gardener on this flower bed. There's been a gardener on this shrub. And when you will trust in God, you will see not only is he pruning you to bear more fruit, but he is shaping you in his likeness so that when people are around you, they realize that there has been a gardener shaping you because that cannot and will not happen naturally. It's a branch that is connected and that is being pruned. Friends, I want you to know God loves you just like you are. That is true. But he loves you too much to leave you like you are. He loves you like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. And also, if you just look at that word for pruning, that can also be translated as cleansing. That's why Jesus is saying to them, but you're already cleansed right now because of what we're talking about. He's talking to the disciples, and they're thinking, what's about to happen to me? God is cleansing you, and he is preparing you in that time of being pruned. The third thing we see here is the connected branch that is flourishing. It's flourishing in its fruitfulness. Look in verses 4 and 5 here. He says, remain in me and I am you. Just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. Then he says, verse 5, the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. This is a picture of a Christian that is flourishing in their fruitfulness. But they're not flourishing in their fruitfulness because they're such an awesome person. They're flourishing in fruitfulness because, number one, they have a solid faith connection with Christ. And number two, they are trusting in him. They are faithful to obey. They are moving forward with him no matter what he says. They are flourishing in their faith. I want you to look here also. It's interesting. This is where we get into the remain in me and abide in me section. You know, some of your translations, Bible translations, may say abide in me. And remain in me is a pretty good translation as well. Maybe I'm old school, but I like that word abide just because it seems to me to be different than remain in me. Because when I look in this passage and I look, what is that word in the Greek? What does it really mean? And it literally means to not depart. So when he says remain in me, it's not just, hey, keep sitting where you're sitting. He's telling them, don't you decide to get up and go anywhere, okay? He's saying remain in me. Looking also, it's interesting, 8 times in 6 verses, he uses the word that's translated remain at least 8 times or abide. He says remain in me or remain on the vine or remain in my love. I think he wants us to know something. He wants us to know what it means to abide in Jesus. What it means to abide in Jesus is that we are committed enough to Jesus to not depart. It's a greater commitment than just words. It's more than just I'm associated with the things of church because it's convenient for me today. It's more than, well, you know, I show up, I go and I sit on the pew and I get a little bit of a good feeling and then I just do whatever. It's not that kind of commitment. It is a deeply rooted, committed commitment of the heart that is unwavering in hard times. It requires a heart commitment that's based on a solid foundation of faith and not just religion. Jesus commands them in verse 4. He commands them. He says, abide in me. And then he goes on in verse 5, and he says, if anyone does not abide in me, and then he gives that picture of the branch that is unfruitful and that's useful for nothing and it's thrown away. And the difference, though, in this branch and the branch that we see in verse 2, the branch in verse 2 is truly connected. He says, anyone that is in me. Right here, he's telling them that it's a greater commitment than just your words. If anyone is not abiding in Jesus, if anyone does not have the kind of commitment that where they are 100% for sure, if they don't have the kind of commitment that will prevent them from wavering and walking away from the things of God, then they need to understand that the power of God is not going to be evident in their life. The truth is, verse 5, he says, you can do nothing apart from me. The truth is, we can do nothing for Christ apart from Christ. You want to make an impact on this community, on your family for Jesus, then you need to have a solid connection with the true vine that is Jesus. You need to have a solid connection that is deeper than just words. In fact, the picture here, the overall picture here that he's going towards is a disciple relationship. Disciple, they are allowing the things of God to discipline their lives. They are so committed to Christ that they are letting that literally shape who they are. They're letting it shape what they believe is right and wrong. Whether the culture says something's right or wrong doesn't matter. What does God say about it? They're allowing it to shape what kind of moms and dads they are, what kind of co-workers they are, or what kind of students that they will be, what kind of children they will be. These are people that are allowing the things of God to completely shape their lives. And the truth is, that makes sense because we can do nothing for Christ apart from Christ. And if you are a Christian that's flourishing, I want to remind you that if you can see the fruit of God in your life, I want to remind you where that fruit comes from. It comes from Christ. So don't get complacent. Don't get comfortable. Keep serving Jesus. Keep serving Jesus. If you are in a walk with God in discipleship, don't let that end. If you're in a Bible study and God is speaking to you and you just feel God shaping you, when that Bible study is over, don't stop digging into the Word of God. Maybe get into another Bible study, or maybe some of you, it's time for some of you to start leading Bible study. I don't know. But don't get complacent. Remember where the blessing is coming from. The blessing is coming from and the fruit is coming from the true vine that is Jesus. The last thing that we see here is what I would consider to be the disconnected branch. The disconnected branch. The disconnected branch is one that chooses not to remain in Christ and has forsaken the Word. Remember, he says in verse 6, he says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. And they gather those branches and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you do not remain in me. Then he goes on, verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. That idea of having a deep enough commitment to Jesus that's going to be unwavering. The deep enough commitment to Jesus, that the words of Jesus mean something to you. The words of Jesus are life-shaping for you. That is the one who abides in Christ, but the one that's not abiding in Christ is the one who chooses not to remain in Christ and has forsaken the Word. That person does not have a deep faith commitment in Jesus. That person is a person that's associated with Jesus, near Jesus, but not in Jesus. That person is a person who goes to church, maybe puts themselves around the things of God because it's convenient or it makes them feel good, but when it gets down to it, they've never truly given their heart to Jesus. That is this disconnected branch that we're seeing. The picture here, and by the way, this happens shortly after the Last Supper, shortly after one of the 12 gets up and leaves to go betray Jesus, because it wasn't just very convenient for him anymore. Okay? This just happens right after all that. So the picture here, I think, definitely is a Judas Iscariot kind of person. The person who maybe they were close to Jesus, but never fully attached to the vine, never truly gave their heart to Christ, never was truly in Christ to begin with. The reality is, friends, the person who chooses not to abide in Christ is the person who never really did abide in Christ. You know, Judas was around Jesus all this time. But the reality is he never truly was a believer. He never truly gave his heart to Christ. And that's when things began to close in and he got mad and he got frustrated, he just picked up his marbles and he went somewhere else. Ultimately, he betrayed Jesus because of that. This is quite often, this could be a branch that thinks it's close enough. I'm sure when Judas was following Jesus around, he thought he was all good. I'm good. I don't need, my heart, I'm not really sure about that. I don't need to do that. We're hanging out. I'm here, Jesus. I'm on the pew, Jesus. I'm around. But in reality, his heart never was connected. Friend, remember, Jesus says, I am the true vine. He is our connection with God. The Bible teaches us that we are only connected to God through Christ, through that faith relationship in Jesus, where we have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We realize, the Bible says, all of us are sinners. I am a sinner. A point in my life, and I'm not perfect, but there was a point in my life where I realized that because of my sin, that I could not have a connection with God. I could not, one day when I step into eternity, I would not step into God's presence. I realized that all these times that I thought I ought to pray to God, that he wasn't quite hearing me because I wasn't really his child. I realized that I needed to come to Christ through faith in Jesus. Come to God through faith in Jesus. And that's when I became connected into the true vine. And I became connected to God the Father, the vineyard keeper, through Jesus, which is the true vine. It's because you think you're close enough. It could be a very dangerous thing. You need to know that you are connected. A couple other things I think of when I think about folks that have never come to Christ. I think about people who have never heard the gospel. And about people that are not connected to the vine because they've never heard the message of Jesus. Maybe there's someone here this morning and this never really clicked for you, but it's making some sense. And you have the opportunity. You'll have the opportunity in a minute to respond. But I want you to also know that there are people out there, and the reason they're not connected to the true vine is because they refuse to accept the love of Jesus. There are some people out there who have heard the gospel, but at the end of the day, they understand it, but they're not willing to trust in Jesus because they're so afraid of what they may have to give up or what it might cost them. Friends, I want you to know you will never know love and purpose in your life apart from a relationship with Jesus. You may think you will, but you will never know it the way that you were created to know it, apart from a relationship, a discipleship relationship with Jesus. And here's why. Our life purpose is this: to glorify God and to be an obvious disciple, not a cultural Christian. Our purpose in life is to glorify God by being an obvious disciple, not a cultural Christian. Hey, you know how I know that an apple tree is an apple tree? Because it produces apples, right? If you are a believer in Jesus, it should be that obvious. If you are a disciple in Jesus, we'll put it that way, it should be that obvious. People look at your life, they ought to see that God has been shaping you. The people look at your life, do they see the fruit of God at work in your life? Because your life purpose is to glorify God by being an obvious disciple, not a half-hearted, cultural, whatever goes kind of Christian. How do you know this? How do I know that? Well, because Jesus says this: My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove or demonstrate that you are my disciples. Let's pray. Maybe you are here this morning and some of this has resonated with you. And I don't know a whole lot of rooms, church, that there's not somebody that fits one of these categories. And maybe God is speaking to you, and maybe you've been going through a pruning process and it's been hard. Maybe this morning you need to take heart in the things of God and you spend some time praying and being encouraged in the Spirit. Receive blessing from the living water that's flowing through the true vine. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you've truly never given your heart to Jesus. You need to do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a believer. There's no doubt about that. But God is just, the fruit of God is just not evident in your life. You've been distanced from God for some reason. You're not useful in what He's created you to do. And God's burdening you to change something or to make some sort of commitment. Maybe you're here and God wants you to join our church or make some other commitment. Friends, I want to tell you, everything comes down to this. Do you trust God? So I'm going to pray. And when we're done, when I say amen, I want y'all to stand and we're going to sing and you come if God is leading you. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts. God, challenge us. Father, would you shape us to be what you have made us to be? Prune us, God. Use us. Help us not to get comfortable when we're flourishing. Draw us closer to you, God. Encourage us when we're being pruned. God, wherever, whatever you're saying to us, God, pray that everyone in here, Father, we would respond to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand up, sing with us. Come.